welcome to the Hope Vineyard Podcast. For more information, go to www.hopevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. Good morning. When was the last time you looked up in the sky and you found yourself lost in awe and wonder? Last night? What was last night? The meteor shower. Perseid meteor shower. It peaked actually yesterday afternoon at 1 p.m., right? And then, but on Friday night, last night, we're supposed to be the peak viewing times for seeing up to 200 meteors an hour. And the Perseid meteor shower is something that comes around every beginning of August. It's an annual thing, happens every year about this time. In fact, it's the first time that we know in history when it was first recognized was 36 AD. 36 AD, that was right when Jesus was on the earth. He was around, and a Chinese astronomer looked up in the sky and noticed, you know, these stars coming down and wrote it down. Now, certainly people may have noticed that beforehand, but this is the first time that it was acknowledged. This meteor shower is one of the best because it produces more fireballs than any other annual type meteor shower. The Perseids are actually debris from the trail of the Swift Tuttle comet, which comes by the Earth. And don't worry, it's not going to hit the Earth. It's in good shape. But we see this every year, and it's an awe-inspiring thing. When you see these shooting stars, they really, you know, are microscopic particles that are hitting the Earth's atmosphere at 132,000 miles an hour. So that's 37 miles a second that these things are moving, and they're microscopic particles, most of them. It is awe-inspiring. Now, I went towards Loda last night. None of my kids wanted to go. I was really disappointed. So I went and sat by myself out on my hood of my car and tried to see some of the shooting stars. I saw some. It wasn't amazing like it has been in some years, but it was cool. Saw a number of them. But it's a great experience when you can look up in the sky at what God created and know that something is way bigger than you. It connects you to something eternal, doesn't it? To know that people through centuries and millennium have been looking to the heavens and seeing some of the same things that we can see today, for me, it roots me in something eternal and helps me connect with God and experiencing Him. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a series we started a couple weeks ago called Wide Open, Experiencing and Worshiping God. And in this series, we want to be people who have our lives wide open before God. Our arms, this graphic sums it all up. This is what we want to be when we approach God. We want to grow in our experience and knowledge of God, and we want to be people who grow in how we express our love towards Him in worship. That's what worship is. And so in week one, worship flows from our experience of God. This is what we had looked at, that worship flows from our experience. It's a natural outflow. It's a natural progression. It's what you do when you experience God in a profound way. Because God is seeking relationship with us, and He wants us to draw near to Him. And in week two, last week, Dee Dee shared how we are to be people who let our roots grow down deep in Jesus and build our lives on Him. In fact, when we do that, it fosters a lifestyle of worship. Worship that's surrendered, laid down, laid bare before God. Okay? So, this is where we are in this series, but we were calling it Wide Open, Experiencing and Worshiping God, and a lot of us have an idea of what worship is. We'll talk more about that in other weeks, but today I want to look at what's it mean to experience God? Like, what does it mean? How do we even begin to experience someone that we can't see, that we can't touch, that we can't feel, that we can't have an auditory conversation with? How do we experience Him? That's a challenge. We know that this was Paul's desire. St. Paul tells us in Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. So this was Paul's desire, to know and experience God. And it's my belief that the Christian life, for those who pursue Jesus, the Christian life should be marked by daily experiences with God. on a daily basis as we have our relationship with him formed, and it, as it grows, we should on a daily basis experience the living God. We believe that that's something that is possible. Throughout history, we've seen how people have experienced God in some massive, big ways. But more often than not, we've seen that God is experienced in some of the smaller ways as we consistently and as we readily pursue seeing him, how he's speaking to us, how he reveals himself to us, how he's at work in our lives, because he's present every day. And so we want to be doing that. We want to be pursuing him and experiencing him in big ways, of course, but in just the small, everyday ways, how can we experience God? Well, today I want to look at how I believe to experience God, we have to look up, we have to look out, and we have to look in. Okay? Look up, look out, look in. We're going to talk about that today as we gather. But would you pray with me? All right? Father, thank you for this gorgeous day. Thank you for this beautiful weather that we have, a glorious August that we know this earth, all creation, it comes from you, God. You're the ultimate creator. And we thank you that you've drawn us together today, that you reveal yourself to us in profound ways and in small ways. We welcome your presence through your Holy Spirit, and we say, come and have your way. Would you lead us? Would you speak to us? Would you open our hearts and open our lives to be wide open, laid bare before you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're looking at Psalm 19. So if you have a Bible, open up to your Bibles. We encourage you to do that, whether it's on your phone, your iPad, or if you have a paper one or whatever you have, or you can just follow along on the screens. We're starting in Psalm 19, verse 1. And we're going to go through this together, do a couple sections at a time. Let's look at this. This is King David wrote this psalm. It's called a Psalm from David. And he says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. And so if we want to be people who experience God, first we have to look up. We have to just like physically get outside and look up. And this is what I love to do when we go on our annual vacation to my in-laws' cabin in northern Wisconsin. A couple weeks ago we returned from their cabin. It's 9 hours north of here. They have a cabin on a lake, and it's amazing up there. It's amazing what you can see in creation, but especially when you look up. The nighttime sky is full of glorious unveilings from God that we can't really see down here because of the light pollution and the other things that we see. So when I go down on the dock at the lake at nighttime when there's no moon, this time we had kind of a half moon, so it lights up the sky. But when it's pitch black, no moon in the sky, you can see millions of stars, like way more than we ever can here. And it's awe-inspiring. We see clusters of stars. You can see glimpses of the Milky Way across the sky. You can see satellites moving slowly across the sky. It's just so clear. You just see these little, they look like stars just moving. And sometimes we've seen the northern lights up there too. It's just amazing how they dance on the horizon and in the sky, looking like blue flame across the heavens. And it's easy to fall in love with God when you look at his creation like that. It's easy to be inspired by who he is. And it's helpful for us to remember that David, who wrote this psalm, started life as a shepherd, which meant that his office was the nighttime sky. He didn't have a ceiling like we have in here. He had the nighttime sky as his office, and he was able to spend time with his sheep at night and had a lot of time to just simply look up. He was able to just pause and reflect on what God created. And if you've ever found yourself in the wilderness, far away from the street lights and the headlights and the house lights, you have some idea of what David might have seen. The same type of thing that 3,000 years ago helped him to say, the skies proclaim the glory of God. It inspired him in that fashion. It's incredible to know that the same stars he saw are the ones that we can experience today. Like, to me, that roots me in eternity, and it helps me connect with God in a profound way. Creation always brings me back to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I waver and sometimes I wonder, but the eternal reality of the earth, the heavens, this world, always draws me back to God. New Testament theologian N.T. Wright says, the beauty of God in creation is meant as a set of hints, of conspiratorial whispers, of clues and suggestions and flickers of light, all nudging us into believing that behind the beautiful world is not random chance, but the loving God. And so this is why David could say, the skies make God known. Simply by being without any clever words or without any artful persuasiveness, the skies simply reveal who God is and what he's all about. St. Paul expresses this reality to his letter in the Romans. He says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. No excuse. It's written in the heavens. It's written in the stars. God is present and he can be experienced. God is knowable. We can know God. He can be experienced. You have no excuse for not seeing God because his presence is here. It's written in eternity. And it's been revealed on a daily basis as the sun rises in the east and makes its way, puts to bed at night in the west. Looking up helps us realize, too, just how small we really are. Like when we look up, we start taking in everything that God created. It helps us understand we are really small. When we think about that, it's easy for us to feel insignificant, feel a little bit small and worthless. Can you relate to that? Like you think how big God is and how long he's been forever and how many people have walked the earth. Well, you're in good company because David pondered that as well. In Psalm 8, he says, when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Like, we are small. But the fact is, God does care for us. He loves us, and more than that, he thinks about us. He thinks about us a lot. David also said, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. So God thinks about you in way more times than you can even imagine. David says, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. Incredible. I think it's amazing. But you can't always feel that. You can't always feel the love of God by just looking up. You have to look out, too. On the International Space Station, you can look out and see the world in a different perspective than we've ever been able to experience more than about 50 years ago. And on Tuesday night, I had seen something on Facebook that said, you can go outside and see the International Space Station go across the sky tonight at some specific time. And so I grabbed Dee Dee and we went out to the courthouse across the street from our house. And we were right there. It was like we had a minute to spare and looked up and like, I don't even know where to look, you know. It gave some degrees and I knew where west was. You know, so I looked west and looked up in the sky, and then just out of the blue or out of the black comes this little bright light. It's the International Space Station is actually one of the brightest objects in the sky. It looks like a star or an airplane, but it doesn't flash, and it just moves fast, you know, kind of like a low-flying airplane would, but there's no flashing lights. It's just this bright star-like thing that goes across the sky at 17,000 miles an hour. That's how fast it orbits the Earth. And we got to see the International Space Station. That's the first time I had seen it like that, because you can't always see it. The way that it goes around the Earth, it changes. And I bring this up because for the last 50 years, we've never had this ability to look down, to look out, as it were, out of our own perspective and gain a perspective that is probably like what God can see. from a bigger perspective, out, you know, stepping outside of our own lives. And there's a term for this that most astronauts and cosmonauts experience. They've termed it the overview effect. That nearly, it's a universal effect where people, astronauts who go into space and they look out of themselves for the first time and see the world as it is. It's a cognitive shift in their awareness, the overview effect, to see how interrelated we are and how amazing creation is, how big it is. And until we've been able to go into space, we've never had this perspective. In 1972, Apollo 17 shot this picture that's known as the Blue Marble picture. And no doubt you've seen it because it's one of the most famous, most reproduced pictures of Earth. It was the first time that Earth was seen in its entirety because of the way the sun came. Normally there'd be a shadow because of the moon and the sun, but this was the first picture that we got to see from 1972 that has the Earth in all its glory shining. You can see Antarctica, you can see the Arabian Peninsula, and it's given us a perspective that human beings up until 50 years or so ago didn't have. God revealing more of himself as we look out of our own perspective, and this is why it's so important for us. We have to look out if we want to experience God. We have to gain a different perspective. We have to look outside of ourselves. And the Bible gives us God's perspective. When we look out of ourselves and we look into his word, we can see the heart of God. We can see what's important to him. We can see what's vital to him. By looking out, it takes us away from just focusing on ourselves. It opens a window into the heart of God. And David reveals this in Psalm 19. He goes on. He really takes a sharp corner. In the first couple verses of Psalm 19, he's talking about how amazing creation is. And then he like turns a sharp corner and speaks about Scripture. Let's look at it. Verse 7, Psalm 19, we're continuing the same psalm. It says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them." And so David points from creation, looking up, and he looks out into God's word. And it reveals more. He experiences God through God's word. He says that the Bible, when we read it, when we spend time in it, when we soak in it, it revives our soul because it speaks truth. It makes us wise. The scripture makes us wise people. We want to have wisdom. It brings us joy and it gives us knowledge and insight, doesn't it? And furthermore, David said that God reveals himself through scripture, that who we see God revealed in scripture, we see him as pure. We see him as everlasting. We see him as true and fair. He's worth more than any kind of riches you can imagine. He is sweeter than any Australian licorice you could ever eat. That's my favorite candy, by the way, in case you're wondering what to get me for my birthday. But those who have experienced God through his word know this to be true because the Bible reveals Jesus to us. Ultimately, that's what the Bible reveals to us. It shows us Jesus, shows us who he is, shows us what he's done and how much he loves us. And so we want to be people who look up and look out. But as we see, as we finish out this psalm, David responded by looking in. And in verse 12, he says, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin." And so we experience God as we look in to what he's doing in our lives. For David, experiencing God caused him to be self-reflective. He was confronted by the awesomeness of God in the heavens. He sees the truth by looking out into God's word, and it caused him to want to be transformed, to be the person that God's created him to be by looking in, reflecting. He says it again. He echoes what he says here in Psalm 139, where he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Looking in. You see, when we're confronted by the awesomeness of God, it can be overwhelming, right? We see how far we have to go when we see how good God is, because I don't know about you, but I'm not close to that. Not anywhere close to that. But it makes me want to be different. It makes me want to pursue the things that God says, these are important things. It makes me want to love the things he loves. It makes me want to get on board with the things that he's all about, to run after his mission. It makes me want to get the stuff that kind of gets between me and God, to get that out of the way, to clear the table. In God's presence, we become aware of our shortcomings. But that's a good thing, because you know what? If you follow Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And so when you feel that stirring that you want to get better, you want to know God more, that's the Holy Spirit stirring that up in you. And he's saying, hey, you know what? Let's transform this. Now, if that voice is speaking shame, if it's speaking condemnation, if it's saying you're unworthy, that is not the voice of God. That's the voice of the enemy who's trying to distract you. The Holy Spirit's voice is much different. He's encouraging. He tells you, you know what? We can fix this together. I've got the power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's mine. I can do it. And for us, we have to be people that are just like wide open and say, yes, Lord. Come have your way. My life is laid bare before you. The Holy Spirit is at work in us. God at work in us, molding us and making us and shaping us for his purposes so we can be more like him. And we see glimpses of him, and it makes us, you know, draw nearer to him, doesn't it? But as we get closer, we see, well, God's not anything like us, and yet he draws near to us. Nothing can keep him away. Nothing can separate us from his love. Because Jesus made a way. He made a way for us to come near. He made a way for the relationship to be reconciled. He bridged the gap through dying on the cross and putting his arms outstretched. And what he modeled for us on the cross is what we are to model and to live out, is our arms outstretched and say, God, I can't do it without your help. I try. I put myself on the throne, but now I'm laying my life down before you, and you are king. And I surrender. I surrender all to you. He took care of those hidden sins. We don't have to wonder about hidden sins in our lives. We don't have to worry about unknown failures. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. You know that old hymn? Jesus paid it all. He paid for our past sins. He paid for our future sins. And on a daily basis, if we are surrendered to him, he'll continue to carry us through. And so we don't have to continue to seek out, as David did, to say, well, what are the hidden sins? What are the unknown things? We just lay it before him and say, God, I trust you to take care of it all because you've already paid it. I don't know about you, but that's good news. I mean, that is the good news. That is the gospel. That is what we are to be sharing. If good news doesn't sound like good news, it's not good news. But this sounds like good news to me. Because of Jesus, we can experience God and we can have real relationship with him and respond through worship, the only natural outflow of experiencing God. And like us, we can be people who turn our lives completely over to God, just as David did as he ends Psalm 19, where he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, when we experience God, the only appropriate response is to worship him. When we experience his glory up, when we see what he says outward in his scripture, when he's speaking to us inside us, the only appropriate response as we experience the living God is to fall on our knees, bow down and worship. And I mean that in a figurative sense, and I also mean that physically. Like, that is something that people have done throughout history, that in a physical way we can lay down. There is something that happens when we lay physically prostrate before the Lord, when we bend our knee physically, not just in our heart. You know, I'm lifting my hands in my heart, or I'm bowing in my heart. Well, there is something to that, but he also wants us to be abandoned, not be afraid to shout for joy or lift our hands before him. He wants us to connect both spiritually and in the physical realm. They're connected. There's no splitting them apart. Experiencing God elicits worship. And this is why David says in Psalm 51, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." We have to look up, we have to look out, we have to look in to experience God. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to take the looking up and receiving, you know, the creation for granted. It's easy for me to go throughout my day. Sometimes I'm focused on my own problems. Sometimes I'm focused on my own concerns, my own troubles, those kind of things that the worries and cares and busyness of my own little world distract me from seeing what God has created and paying attention to it. For me, it is something that I've always experienced God by looking up. But oftentimes, you know, those, I get so distracted by my busyness and by the things that trouble me that I forget to do it, to pause and reflect. And days can go by. Now, I realize we don't have oceans of water. We don't have mountains of timber here in central Illinois. I understand that. But we don't need that stuff to be in awe of who God is. I mean, we have waves and waves of prairie, don't we? Amazing fields of corn that is the people around the world are jealous of. They're amazed by it. Things that God created and given us to, the best soil in the world is right outside our doors. We have the most exquisite sunsets anywhere. I mean, I've been to the Atlantic Ocean, I've been to the Pacific Ocean, I've been to the coast in China and Taiwan. Sunsets look the same as they do here when I look west towards Gibson City. I mean, you can get you know, don't have to have it muddied with that view of Gibson City, but you got the horizon there that's just flat and goes forever, right? And people who live in big cities have to travel far just to have the horizon open up like we get to do when we just go down the street. And so we can experience God just by looking up right now, but it takes intentionality. It takes us to slow down a bit and say, yeah, I'm going to pause. You know what? The most important thing in my life right now is to look up. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. You get to do it tonight. You know why? Because you can go outside and look at the International Space Station again. It's going to show up tonight at 8:22 p.m. And it looks like weather is going to cooperate, doesn't it? I mean, this is a beautiful day. So when you go outside, it'll be visible for 4 minutes. And that's a long time because a lot of times it's only a minute or 2 minutes. 4 minutes. It's going to appear in the west. That's that way, towards Gibson City, at 35 degrees off the horizon. Now, this is all general, but this is zero. That's 90 degrees if you're looking straight up. For the horizon, if you want to find 35 degrees, you take your hand straight out, make a fist, and generally off the zero mark, that's 10 degrees. Then you add another 10, then another 10, and a half one. So about right there, that's about 35 degrees, okay? So go out tonight, go out at 8:19 p.m. Just be safe, right? Get out there early and look out in the west, 35 degrees off the horizon, and it may be different. But it's going to go south-southeast, so it's got a lower trajectory. It's not going straight across the sky. It's going to be going kind of that way, okay? So you can get out. You can go out tonight and look up and enjoy what God has modeled for us. You know, by looking at the space station, we're not in awe of what man has created. We're in awe of what God has done in us. Because, you know, creating the space station is just it's an outward expression of worship for people who have walked that out. Because our God is the ultimate creator. He created the heavens, the earth, and everything. And we are made in his image, and in doing so, we also become creators. It's why we have music. It's why we have poetry. It's why we have art. It's why we have space stations. Because we are creators made in the image of God. We want to be creators. And so when we look at the International Space Station, we're like, God, you're so awesome. You've given us the ability to engineer things that people would only have dreamed of 100 years ago. How amazing is that? So go out tonight and look up. Secondly, I want you to commit to looking out. to being people who look out of yourselves and into the Word of God. Spend time in His Word. Spend time in prayer. We have to ruthlessly eliminate busyness from our lives in order to do this, though, and be intentional about it. Because busyness is our enemy. A lot of us wear busyness as a badge. It is an enemy of God because we get away from spending time with Him. And if you don't feel like you're growing in your relationship with God, it's likely your fault. And by likely, I mean it totally is your fault. Because He's always drawing near to us. He's always pursuing us. He wants us to spend time with Him. And if we can't do that because we're too busy, there's a problem. If we're too tired because of our busyness, too tired to pray, too tired to spend time with friends, eating with them, and going places, too tired to get to church on Sunday, too tired to participate in a small group, or too tired or busy to read or listen to Scripture, then something is wrong in our lives. Because we will not grow. We will not be transformed into the people that God wants us to be. So we have to look out. We have to be intentional about it and ruthlessly eliminate this busyness that keeps us from connecting with God. And look in, too. Just ask the question, what is God wanting to do inside you? Like, what is He stirring up right now? Maybe some conviction? Maybe some admiration for who He is? What's he stirring up in you, and what does He want to do in you? There's an old Vineyard worship song called Change My Heart, O God. It's change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. This is what He's wanting to do in each and every one of our hearts. It's really the same story, the same overview. He wants to change us to be more like Him. But each of us has a different story in how He wants to do that. And He's inviting and beckoning us to let Him have His way in our lives. Look up, look out, look in. It's how we experience God. It's how the psalmist experienced God. And when I think of eternity and how people have experienced Him, it's the same story. But it makes me in awe of what has gone before. It roots me in something bigger than myself, just like looking up to the heavens does. It roots me in the story of God, and I encourage you to press in and look up, look out, and look in as you go throughout this week and into this coming school year.